Today's episode of Fantasy Fiction is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/fantasyfiction. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Kindle, MP3 player, or Magic Stone. Today we're recommending The Eye of the World, Book 1 of The Wheel of Time by Robert Jordan. It's a 30-hour book, people. Think of the value. Once again, that's audibletrial.com/fantasyfiction for your free audiobook download. And if they ask, tell them Snickerdoodle sent you. Reese's can suck it.
In the land of fantasy, on the fields of fiction, there rode two knights across the plains. Two thieves of the night, two warriors of honor, in the shadow of the mountain cry their name.
Until the deed is done.
Fantasy Fiction.
Until the quest is won.
Fantasy Fiction.
The battle's in our minds.
Fantasy Fiction.
Until the end of time.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Fantasy Fiction. My name is Dominic.
My name is Josh.
And today we're telling tales of basilisks and squires.
Stroke me.
Whoa, what?
That's Billy Squire.
Oh, right.
Is that his real name?
Probably not, right?
God damn it. Nothing is real, man.
Nothing's real, man. Billy Squire was the straw that broke Josh's back, man.
I'm so jaded. Just fuck it. Fuck life. Fuck it. I don't give a fuck. God damn it.
Basilisks was submitted by Ryan Stewart, and Squires was submitted by Julian Wimmer. So thank you guys for those prompts. And if you have a prompt and you're listening to this episode and this is the newest episode, go ahead and leave a comment and leave us a prompt.
Do it.
And how many prompts can they leave, Josh?
Only one prompt, please.
Yes.
I get very bored of reading two things.
Yes. In fact, Josh told me he stopped reading things that are two things.
Yes. Yeah, I don't read
in general
sentences that are two words. Don't do that. So
nope.
Basically, I don't read.
Yep. Only one word.
I only read one word.
Stop.
Or if you type out the word and then put a period at it, I'll read that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's okay.
Right.
But it was the 4th of July this weekend, Josh.
That's right. It was the 4th of July. I didn't do anything on the 4th of July.
No?
I listened to the fireworks, which, like, they shoot fireworks off in my town, like, I don't know, like, 2 football fields away from me.
Uh-huh.
So it was really loud. I didn't watch them. I don't know. I love 4th of July, and I love the summertime, but I don't know. I just was, like, not into it this year, so I just played video games all day.
That's a good choice. What'd you play?
I've been playing Star Trek Online. It's the free MMO Star Trek game.
What?
Yeah, man.
How come you didn't tell me, man?
It's pretty okay. It's not,
I want to go into deep space.
Dude.
Nine?
Dude, the thing is, like, once you get to the end, you level, like, so fucking fast.
Really?
Yeah, you level, like, instantly. I've been playing it for,
sounds
like,
awesome.
A week and a half.
This game sounds so good.
So, like, you know, you gotta, like, get a ship, but you gotta, like, buy a ship at the end, like, a good one. And I kind of was like, all right, I'll do it. So now I'm in. Now I'm addicted. I'm stuck in there now because I paid money.
Oh, now they got you.
Yeah, now they got me.
It's free to play, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then freemium or whatever
it's,
they call it.
Yeah, you could still like play without doing that, but like, I don't know. I play to like kill people and stuff. So
yeah, man, that's the best way to live a life. Live to kill, baby.
Dom, what did you do for the 4th of July?
I watched a patriotic movie.
Oh, what'd
Chad
you watch?
And Corey and my friend John.
Mm-hmm.
We watched National Treasure 1.
Dude, disclosure, I love that movie.
it's not a bad movie.
It's not good.
It's not good. Nicolas Cage is completely unbelievable as some sort of love interest to the female heroine.
Yeah, it doesn't really that didn't need that at all. That movie didn't need anything like that.
Yeah.
But they were like, he's gotta be a guy, and you know what guys like, doing ladies.
They shoot in Philadelphia for a bit. That's pretty cool.
Well, they go to Independence Hall,
uh-huh,
and they find the binoculars.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's a foot chase.
Shades of Ben Franklin's shades.
Ben Franklin's Oakleys.
And then they run very quickly to Reading Terminal Market.
Right, which is, like, would take you, like, 15 minutes to run to.
And then they're downtown.
Yeah.
In City Hall there.
Yeah, they have, like, laser rocket packs, I think, in that movie.
Yeah. Well,
which Ben Franklin also invented.
Which Ben Franklin also invented. That's in the Book of Secrets.
Yeah. Which is the second movie.
Which is the second movie. Great title. I didn't realize that movie was made in 2004. I saw a computer, all HP computers in the film, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I want to buy them now.
Huge monitors. And I was like, what the fuck? I thought this movie was like made in like 2010 or something.
That's how good
Turns
it is.
Turns out it was made in 2004.
It's a timeless.
I had no idea.
It's a timeless movie, Dom. It doesn't age.
That movie came out the year the Eagles went to the Super Bowl, Josh. That's how long
Oh, really?
Been. Yeah.
I was watching a game today on YouTube, an Eagles game, an old one.
Uh-huh.
When the first game T.O. came back as a Cowboy.
Oh, wow. You found that on YouTube?
Yeah, so there's a lot of games on YouTube, and I like to watch them because, like, football's not on, and I need it, and it's like drugs to me.
Yes, yes.
But I can't wait until football season starts, and we get to get on Skype.
Oh, yeah.
And watch the Eagles.
We have a thing that we do. Josh and I think we've talked about it before, but I'm going to say it again.
Mm-hmm.
We'll watch Eagles games, each of us being on Skype watching a live broadcast. We will drink, and then when good stuff happens, we'll send each other the Tim Allen Techno Remix.
Tim Allen Techno Remix.
It's listed in our favorite videos on YouTube, by the way. a couple of things I want to talk about that I did real quick. Just want to say these because they're awesome. Mm-hmm. Witcher 3, awesome game.
It looks great.
It's dope. High on Fire, their new album. Mm-hmm. In Sephirium, I think it's called. Dope. Awesome. Recommend it. I also watched an NXT special event. NXT is the WWE.
Yeah.
Basically, they're kind of like their minor league.
Yeah.
It's their developmental stuff. It's basically their indie promotion. But they had a special Live from Japan, July 4th.
That's
show.
Cool.
It was really awesome. I liked it a lot. I watched that as well.
Oh, I watched BattleBots, too.
Oh, yeah, that's
back. The new BattleBots?
How you liking BattleBots?
I don't know. I think in the future we're going to look back on it as barbaric. When we turn into robots, we're going to be like, this is not okay.
Well, the one Volkswagen company, the factory that the machine killed a guy.
I know, that scares me, because actually, you know what, I don't even care.
You know what, that's why this is fantasy fiction. We want to get away from science fiction.
Yeah,
let's go back to the
Earth.
Fantasy, baby. Let's go there now. What do you say?
Oh yeah.
For tales of basilisks and
stroke me.
All right, let's do it.
All right, Dom, are you ready for my story this week?
Yes, I am, like I am every week.
My story is called One Crazy Summer.
Nice title. Great movie.
I was gonna go with the Alanis Morissette song, but they're all too serious. They're all too good.
Oh, okay.
I love her.
Yeah, you love Alanis Morissette?
I was big into when the Jagged Little Pill came out. I listened to that shit like crazy.
Yeah, what are some hits off that one?
You Learn.
Okay.
You Ought to Know.
Oh, okay, got it.
The song about the irony. I don't remember the name of it.
Is the one about Dave Coulier on there?
That's the one. That's the song, yeah.
Oh, is that You Ought to Know?
That's You Ought to Know, yeah.
Okay.
She was mad about that.
Yeah, I would be too.
If Dave Coulier dumped you? I don't know.
Well, if he cut me out of his life.
Is that what happened? What's Dave Coulier doing cutting people out of his life? He can't afford that shit. Nobody likes
it. It was funny. He did it once as a joke, and he just kept doing it, and then he didn't have any friends or family.
Cut it out.
I'm cutting you out. Okay. Okay. Fantasy time.
All right. Summer in Darinus is as hot as those all-seat sexts your mom took for me last night. That's right. Me and your mom are a thing. Start calling me dad because I'm not done emotionally abusing you.
Whoa, okay. What? Couple of questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
All C-sex, how'd that happen?
All C-sexts? Oh, you know. That's kind of like, we have that.
Okay, all right.
You just look in your
ball. You're emotionally abusing children now? Is that what you just admitted?
Well, they do.
Fuck Josh.
They do listen to this show.
Well, hopefully they can listen to this show. Cheer them up. Let them have a good time. Okay.
What's that? But I'm just a lowly narrator for a podcast? What do you think pays for all those therapy sessions and hair dye kits you buy because you think nobody understands you? Yeah. Nobody understands what it's like to be in high school and have zero responsibilities except everyone who ever went to high school, which is like 98% of the fucking planet. But yeah, let me spend my hard-earned narrator salary on Atreyu tickets, and maybe we can go grab a Bud Light Lime and bond over how you're a constant disappointment to your mother and I. Now, can I finish the story? Can I? Oh, thank you, I can? Okay, great.
I get it now. It was fiction. I get it.
Sid the Rogue sat in his living area watching all sea flicks while Ugla sat across from him making it snow inside of the room with some ice magic, which, oddly enough, is also the same spell you use to make knives and spoons fly around, so that was also happening. We don't even own this many spoons and knives, Sid said as he stared at the all sea flicks ball. Where do they come from? I don't know, Ugla replied. As she put bugles on her fingers like they were claws, except in Darinus, bugles are made out of actual claws, and you can kill people with them.
Whoa! Are they not a snack?
They're both.
Oh, okay. Snack for monsters, apparently.
They just show up whenever I use the spell. Yeah, but like, where do they come from? Sid pursued. I don't know. Spoontown, Ugla sighed. No! That's not a real place! You made that up! Stop! Even in this crazy world of magic and narrators who abuse their stepkids, there's no town called Spoontown, Sid said. Meanwhile, hundreds of miles away in a small town with a beaten old banner that hung over the entrance of the town that said, "Welcome to Spoontown," sat two skeletons in a rocking chair who used to be alive people. That's it. They were dead because nobody ever visited Spoontown, and everyone there died, and nobody knew about it or even cared, and a tumbleweed went by. Suddenly, one of the skeletons looked directly at the camera and began to sing, "I close my eyes only for a moment, but Spoontown's gone. Why didn't we name it something better? We didn't even make spoons here. What the fuck were we thinking?" Suddenly, back in the candle shop hideout, there was a knock on the door. "You get it," said Sid. "It's probably just more spoons and knives." After moments of them both sitting there because they were probably high, and time is broken when you're high, Sid got up and answered the door. Standing in the doorway was Jimmy Tree Branch, druid and student at the Druid Academy of Shapeshifting and Turning into Awesome Shit. The studio audience clapped.
Yeah, we like this guy.
"Hello," Jimmy stopped short because the audience was still clapping. "Hello, Mr. Sid the Rogue," he said, reading off a parchment. "I'm here for my summer internship as your squire." "Okay," Sid said, as spoons and knives were now flying out the door. "Okay," Jimmy replied. "So when do we start?" "Start what?" Sid asked. "My squire training." "Do I have to pay you in gold or furs or what's the catch?" Sid said suspiciously. "No, it's for school. I just have to do this internship for my intro to knighting class. I was assigned to you. You don't have to pay me. Oh, so you're a slave? said relieved. No, I'm your squire. I'm supposed to carry your flag into battle and dress you in your armor and give you a hero's funeral and stuff like that. First of all, little man, nobody dresses me. Literally. You don't have to. My leather armor is cursed and I can't take it off. Secondly, I'm never going to die. You hear that, death? Sid said as he shouted to the sky. Hundreds of miles away, in Spoontown, the Grim Reaper was window shopping when he suddenly looked up to the sky himself. Yes, Scott, I fucking hear you. Stop fucking bothering me on my day off. I'm trying to find the perfect end table. You're ruining my me time. Hundreds of miles away, in a different direction, a ghost Merc Monk appeared and was looking out of his treehouse window. Hey, you! Quiet down out there! Some of us are trying to be dead here! Can you believe this shit, honey? He said as he turned around to talk to his wife, but as he did, he saw her with another Merc Monk kissing him on the lips. Around them were his son and a brand new Merc Monk baby. She had remarried, and the family what? Looked happier than ever. His Merc Monk son pulled out a report card which read all A's. The Merc Monk stepdad reached behind his back and pulled out a catcher's mitt. The Merc Monk son smiled, and then they all hugged. The Merc Monk stood there quietly as an ectoplasmic tear rolled down his face. He has to watch his family fucking be happy because he's dead. Their lives are better because he's dead.
Oh, you know what? He was really concerned with sex his entire life.
Yeah.
So maybe let this be a lesson.
Maybe pay attention to your kid more.
Maybe.
Or not, whatever.
Yeah, we turned out all right.
Oh, man. Thirdly, Sid said, here's your first lesson, Squire. If you're doing something for someone for free, then you're their slave, which is why I never do anything for anyone unless I'm getting paid or I get to kill them later. Got that? Never do anything, kill them later. Jimmy was writing furiously on his parchment. All right, let's go adventure, Sid said. Be back later, Ugler. We're going to go do some stuff, I guess, or whatever. I don't know. After a cool star wipe, the two were riding Sid's motorcycle down the streets of Grawl, while Jimmy held Sid's homemade banner, which was just a crudely drawn, juicy-as-fuck Woody that had twerk lines drawn on it, and the initials D-O-N-K-S, Donks, or Daranosian Overseer of Nips, Clappers with a K, and Scrapbooks. Ha! I get it, said a gnome as they rode by. They should put that on a t-shirt. I mean, I'd buy it. I'd buy all the shirts those guys make. Call me brainwashed, but I literally would clothe my firstborn in every single one of those clever shirts that those hilarious guys make.
Finally, the gnome doesn't know the website.
What is it? BigCartel.fantasy?
Fuck, you know what? Fuck that gnome. I don't care. I want to hear about the story.
Fuck that gnome. Finally, the motorcycle stopped in front of a rundown old tavern. The two got off and walked inside. Once they got in, Jimmy saw a sight he had never seen before except on HBO's Real Sex. Oh my god.
Was it that woman having sex with the potatoes? With the potato, carving potato dicks.
I would always see the one about swingers. I've seen that one, I think, like 40 times.
Every time, I feel like every time I watched it, it was about the lady who would carve potato dicks.
I never saw that one. But.
Weird.
I will be seeing it tonight. Because I'm curious.
That's all.
That's the only reason. Oh my gods, this is a house of ill repute, he said, embarrassed. Yup, slave, it is, Sid replied. Now why don't you go slave us up some mead? Sid finished as he threw Jimmy a sack of gold coins. Jimmy purchased the drinks and made his way to the bathroom because he had to take a giant whiz, which adds realism to the story because real people often have to take a giant whiz. But when he walked through the door to the whiz trough, he found himself teleported onto the stage, where he was locked inside of stockades, still holding the bruise. A Skeleman grabbed an all-sea mic. Ladies and gentlemen, and eunuchs who are here for some reason, I don't claim to know how you live. I'm told that today is little Jimmy here's first day as a squire, so to help him celebrate his newfound servitude, please welcome to the stage, Basilips! Suddenly, Shake It Fast by Mystical started playing as a comely basilisk lady with six dope hangers seductively slithered across the stage. We're talking a dozen double D donkers just swanging, driving all the homies crazy, especially the lizard men whose dicks started molting early on this night. That's the grossest thing I've ever written.
It's pretty gross.
But it's true. Jimmy was helpless inside the stockade as the ravenous reptile started taking off the first of her three bikini tops. As she did, Jimmy saw the firmest pair of bolt-ons he's ever seen on a lizard lady, which had to be these, because I don't know about you, but I've never seen a pair of Goliaths on a lizard. These things instantly made the expression as useless as tits on a snake obsolete, which was a real pain in the ass because that was printed on every Daranos dollar right above the double Illuminati symbol.
Whoa!
Jimmy could see it plain as day because there was some sticking out of the Basilips' lizard thong, which was leopard print, which made Basilips look like my 7-year-old cousin colored in a Ninja Turtle. Little kids suck at coloring.
They're pretty bad.
They're like, let's color this like pink, and it's like, that's just color it right.
Imagination.
Color it right.
With the way you're told.
Whoosh, whoosh. Basilip stuck her giant milk wagons in Jimmy's face and motorboated it like he was a special guest star on Thunder in Paradise. The crowd was hooting and hollering, and nobody seemed to care that a lizard was sexually harassing a college student. Jimmy was frozen, not with fear, but with basilisk poison, because there probably was some on her Zimbabwe's. I was running out of like slang terms for boobs.
Yeah.
Which I think is where basilisks make their poison. Suddenly, Basilips started twerking against the side of Jimmy's head, causing a concussion and probably several years of migraines and post-traumatic stress. Is that your son? A drunken orc said to Sid. No, he said. He's my squire. And then he saluted Jimmy. Finally, the lap dance was over and everyone felt really weird because strip clubs are just a bunch of dudes watching other dudes get boners.
Yeah. That's why I don't go.
Yeah. On the ride home back to the college, Jimmy fell asleep, probably from the head trauma or from the basilisk poison. So Sid carried him up to his room and tucked him in. The next day, Jimmy woke up and went to the library to write his squire report. A little wiser and a little more cultured in the art of knightly chivalry. As he walked into the library, he saw the dean arguing with a very angry knight. What do you mean he was assigned to another knight? Said the knight. There must have been some mistake, the dean reassured the knight. We'll look into it, I promise you. I apologize again. You better, you pasty druid haggis twat, or my name isn't Sid the Broog.
Whoa!
Jimmy just smiled. Not because of the misunderstanding, but because he got to go to a strip club and not do his homework. Finn.
Truly the greatest prize school can offer.
A snow day where you get to see boobs.
And a concussion. Horrible, horrible boob concussion.
Totally worth it.
Nice job.
Thank you.
I really liked the fact that Sid... took his son to work day, pretty much.
It was take your son to work day.
Really phoned it in, like some dads. Like some dads.
Not
Father's Day.
Not like my dad. My dad was great.
I remember that time my dad played a catch with the neighbor's kids.
Because they went home. And that was better for him, I guess.
He had to say goodbye to them at some point. I don't know. All right, Josh, are you ready for my tale of squires and basilisks?
I am ready.
This one is called The Basilisk's Favorite Day. It was a warm summer afternoon in Orkspire as a crowd of people gathered outside of the human city of Teutonia to hear a knight's mission. Sir Bruce Chatsgene stood tall in a set of finely crafted steel with his squire and horses nearby. The basilisk is out there in the woods somewhere, announced the knight. It has killed 3 people. All of them just so happened to be criminals who were fleeing justice. But who knows when the basilisk will hunger for the flesh of the good. I mean, evil people taste pretty good. Logic would lead you to believe that good people taste better.
That makes sense.
Therefore, I, Sir Bruce Chatsgene, have been called upon to slay this evil threat with the help of my squire, Guilford.
Guilford,
a young adult with a black blindfold covering his eyes, stood with the horses stroking their manes. He was dressed in plain squire gear with shaggy brown hair. Guilford was fairly quiet and kept to himself. As a boy, he was a natural with a sword. He bested his masters one by one until he was accidentally struck across the temple with a wooden sword when someone went to give him a high-five sword one day. And he was cursed blind ever since.
He's blind?
He's blind. No, yeah, he's blind.
Guilford!
Guilford's blind. Yeah, Guilford's blind.
I'm
sworn
sorry.
To serve, Guilford became a squire, learning to hear his surroundings and be of aid. I hate the Knights of Teutonia, shouted a protester as he ran up to the crowd and threw a tomato at Sir Bruce. Guilford reached out of frame and caught it.
What?
The crowd was shocked. Guilford took a delicious, juicy bite that made some people who were listening to the knight leave and go buy tomatoes because damn, that looked good. The remaining crowd wished the knight and his squire well as the two set off toward the Green Door Tavern to eat and rest for the evening.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that thing can kill you in a single gaze, shouted a tavern goer as he slammed his mug on the counter. That's crazy. You're crazy. Word of the knight's quest has spread quickly. The basilisk that had only ate bad guys for some reason was finally going to die. The tavern was excited and also pissed to talk about it with him. Don't you think I thought of that? Said the knight as he reached into his satchel. He withdrew a small mirror and showed it to the bar. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna kill that piece of shit lizard with his own weapon. Oh, is that some kind of magic mirror? Asked the bartender. What? Replied the knight. No, I got this at one of the shops in town. The one with the blanket, and everything's on the blanket, and the blanket's super mm-hmm. dirty because it's hidden underground in an alley thing. Wait, is this thing magical?
He never occurred to him. Maybe it is.
Over. Well, best of luck to you both, said an older patron. The way I see it, anything with more than 4 legs is evil. Think of things that have more than 4 legs. Spiders. Centipedes. 2 dogs having sex. The bar shuddered in fear, except for Guilford. He never saw that. 3 dogs having sex. The list goes on.
He never saw it, so he could never imagine it.
Yeah, he could never imagine it.
No reference. No frame of reference.
3 dogs having sex. The list goes on. The old man fell asleep right then and there. If I were you, said an old scarred mercenary in the corner, I would kill that basilisk as soon as possible.
Oh, shit.
You never know when he's going to talk to some bees and get them on his side and then set bee traps all over his lair.
Holy
fuck, can they do that? Asked Sir Bruce. Animals and insects talk to each other, replied the mercenary. Don't end up on the wrong end of a nature deal. The mercenary lifted his mug to take a drink, but when he did, everyone saw that his hand was actually a poorly fashioned wooden prosthetic, and it fell apart before he could take a sip. Then lightning struck outside the window behind him. Everyone's penis went inside their bodies to hide. But then the calming tune of a flute began to play, and some penises came back out as if to say, Is it safe? Is it safe to be a hard boner now?
That's the best voice ever done on the show. And it was for a penis. It was for a dick.
Is it safe to be a hard, veiny dick? That's what I want to be. All the time.
Every single day. Every second of the day.
I'm so scared sometimes. I don't want to get chopped. The bar turned its attention to the flute player, Guilford, a.k.a. Blindy, who continued playing.
Blindy.
Some people started crying because the music was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is real life magic. I mean, Eric Clapton's Tears in Heaven, it's basically a mom and dad tear summoning spell when you think about it long and hard enough.
That's
like
true.
I have. Frightened by all the bee talk. Bruce dismissed this flute playing and gathered their things to venture out that night. We have to get there as soon as possible, said Sir Bruce as he squinted to make out the road in the dim moonlight. What if he talks to some wasps, man? They don't die after one sting. They could seriously mess you up.
They just keep stinging.
The knight and squire pressed onward toward the cave of the basilisk for the next few hours. With the sun rising on their backs, Sir Bruce and Guilford stood outside the beast's lair. They went in. And they saw the basilisk. Blood drips from the basilisk's jaw as it turned its hideous glare in the direction of the hiding knight and squire. They hid, by the way. Its glowing green eyes scanned the cavern. Its eight reptilian feet gripped cold, hard stone as the basilisk began to scale the wall of the cave, coming toward the two from above. Blood dripped onto the knight's shoulder. Now was his chance. The knight stood and turned quickly toward the basilisk as he shouted, "Take a look at this!" and held the tiny hand mirror out in front of him, with his hair and clothes blowing in some non-existent wind, much like an anime. The basilisk snapped its gaze to the mirror, and it exploded with his awesome eyes. But before he did that, he totally gave himself a look that said, "God damn, I look fine as fuck." The explosion sent the knight flying toward the back of the cave. The basilisk dropped back down and landed with a thud that sent some loose rocks falling onto Sir Bruce's legs, pinning him down.
Oh no.
The basilisk slowly walked toward the knight as it opened its mouth and let out an echoing roar that confused the knight. "Where is he?" shouted Sir Bruce in panic. "Is he calling bees? Do you see his bees?"
He's just concerned about these bees.
He's got a fear. The basilisk almost grinned as it opened its mouth to take a bite of Sir Bruce, when suddenly the knight's shield struck the back of the basilisk's head. It turned and snapped its gaze once more, this time hitting a rock that exploded. "Judy!" screamed another rock in horror. Dust cleared as Guilford stood up, sword in hand. The basilisk charged at the squire. Guilford leaped into the air, dodging the charge, and landed with a pretty awesome 3-point slide, putting himself between the basilisk and the knight.
Dude, Guilford.
Guilford. What's that?
Dude, Guilford.
Guilford, he's doing it, dude.
Dude.
Guilford held the knight's sword with both hands.
Yes.
As the basilisk strafed around him using the WASD keys.
Dude's wadsing as fuck, man.
"Do it, boy!" shouted the knight. "For the
glory of Teutonia. The light guide me, said the boy to himself. He gripped his sword and swung it with a fierce power that crashed upon some rocks that also exploded. Jeff and Jerry, screamed the same rock. The basilisk waited as the squire pulled back and let forth another wild swing, this time hitting the wall. The strike echoed throughout the cave, disturbing sleeping bats who screeched as they flew out of the cave. Oh, fucking shit, bats! shouted Guilford as he tried defending himself with the sword once more, this time its edge landing into Sir Bruce's thigh.
What?
Oh, fucking what the fuck? Shouted the knight in pain. You're really blind. I thought you could, like, see shit and hear smell and smell stuff really good. No, I'm just really pensive, explained the squire as the basilisk watched them argue.
I'm really pensive.
But those things you did today, catching the tomato, that shield thing right now, and the leap. Coincidence, explained the blind squire. I just had a couple of incredible moments today. I'm blind as hell.
He's in the zone. He's just in the fucking
zone. I was just in the zone for a bit. What about the flute playing? Asked the knight. You don't have to be blind to play a flute, shouted Guilford as he began to panic. The basilisk began tapping him with his tail to taunt him. I mean, play the flute, shouted the knight back at him. The basilisk opened its mighty jaws once more as blood and slime dripped from its teeth. Guilford lifted the flute to his lips and played the most magical song he knew. Yeah. As he did, a songbug stood atop a rock that had lost a couple friends and began to sing. Would you know, my dog, if my dick went to heaven? Would you give my dick a funeral? If my dick died drunk driving? I must be strong and chew my dung. Cause if Obama gets re-elected, I'll rip my dick off.
What? Man, Songbug. Now we know his politics. Also, what the fuck is this dick drunk driving?
If my dick died drunk driving.
I think if Eric Clapton heard that song, he would be very proud, though.
He would cry.
Yeah.
He would cry, just like this basilisk. The basilisk burst into tears after hearing the sad song about a bug's dick. But since his eyes were deadly, his tears were doubly deadly.
Oh, shit.
And they were acid, and they melted the skin from his skull.
What?
The basilisk died a slow and painful death. It was the most metal Eric Clapton ever got. The air.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Music can really save people.
Yes. I think it can.
Yeah.
So, that
song's about a kid falling out of a window. And you made it be about a dick going to heaven.
Look, I'm just... I didn't sing the song. I just...
No, I know you did it. No.
Somebody else
Songbug.
Sang it.
Songbug did. Songbug.
All right?
Yeah. You're right. You're right.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to another episode of Fantasy Fiction. We hope you had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to leave us a prompt, go ahead and do so in the comments. Leave one prompt only, please. If you want to support the show, visit fantasyfiction.bigcartel.com. We got battle keg shirts. We got restocks of old shirts.
Yeah, boy.
Check it out.
Do like that gnome and swaddle your firstborn child in every shirt that we buy.
Yeah, do that. Yeah, be like that gnome. Get them all.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else? Hey, I edited this week's episode of Continue.
Yes, it was great. It was really funny.
If you're a fantasy fiction fan, you might enjoy at least one joke that I edited into it. Check it out. It's an episode called Judge Dredd. It's on the Continue channel. I'll put a link to it if you're on YouTube. We'll make an annotation for you so you can check it out. What else, Josh? What else is going on? Oh, Tours Land.
Yeah.
My man. A.K.A. Bone Sword.
Yeah, boy.
He made another song, this time about a Sir Encrusted Gemini.
People loved him.
People
as they
loved
should.
Him as they should. They loved him as much as... Almost.
Almost.
As much as he loved gold.
I don't think we can say that people like him more than he likes to fuck gold. Because you gotta like gold to fuck it, man.
You gotta like some gold to fuck it. All right, let's get out of here. What do you say?
Sounds good.
All right, everyone. Have a good week. We'll see you next time. Until next week, Josh.
Until next week. Keep on wizarding.
Keep on wizarding. I meant to say 2 weeks.
Everybody should know by now.
If you don't know that by now, you will never have a dick accident. Emo Wizard, everyone. Have a good week. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.